You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, today we are kicking off this new series called Pressure Points, based on the New Testament book of James. Let me give you four ways that you can really get the most out of this series, okay? Because we want to make sure you grow spiritually and you really get plugged in. Number one, be here over the next 6 weeks. You would be surprised what it does in your life to prioritize being in church 6 weeks in a row for this series. I want to encourage you, don't miss a message, okay? If you've already got plans that are taking you out of town and you have to miss the next couple weeks, stay connected to the podcast. I know many of you like to listen to the podcast even if you were here on Sunday morning, so the messages will be there. The third thing is I want to encourage you to read along with us. Some of you have never read the book of James before. Some of you have never read a whole book of the Bible before. This is a great opportunity for you to jump in. Let's do this together. So each week we're going to be covering different portions of this book together. This morning I'm going to tell you what we're covering for next week so you can read ahead. So I really encourage you, read along with us. If you need something to do for your devotionals, we just shifted from our Psalm series. Now you can jump into the book of James. And then the fourth one you already heard about, join or start a life group. That's how you get the most out of this series. Well, speaking of pressure points, a few months ago, I was experiencing some intense pain in my neck and in my shoulders, in my back. I had been working on the computer for hours. I really wasn't paying attention to my posture. I wasn't getting up and taking breaks and walking around. And I started to develop some really bad pain. And I'm a typical guy. I ignored it at first. I didn't make a big deal of it. I kind of toughed it out. But I got to the point where my muscles were so inflamed, I couldn't get anything done. And thank God we have a few PT doctors in our church. So I called Justin up. Justin's one of our trustees and the leader of our production team. He was playing guitar this morning. He's just multi-talented. And I said, Justin, you got to help me out, man. I'm in serious pain. And Justin's like a miracle worker. He comes to my house from time to time, and he brings his PT table and unfolds it. And I get on there. And I mean, his hands are anointed, man. I'm telling you. He starts like, you know, working through these tissues and pulling the different layers of muscle apart and massaging and pressing on my back, and man, I'm making noises like, ooh, and ah, like the whole time, and he got to a certain, you know, a couple spots, and I was like, that's it, that's the spot right there, keep working on it, and he helped me tremendously, but what I discovered is there's certain pressure points in our muscles where the pain is radiating from. I might be feeling the pain in one spot, but it's concentrated in certain spots, these knots that we get in our muscles, and you have to apply pressure there, and you have to stimulate those muscles to work them out, because what happens is our muscles get knotted up, and Justin was kind of helping me understand this, but the way our muscles work is they're meant to lengthen, and they're also meant to relax, but they're also meant to contract, and when you have a knot in your muscles, it's like there's this portion of your muscle that's knotted up. It's contracted and the blood can't flow properly and the nerves in that area get irritated and sometimes you lose a range of motion because it's cramped up. So you have to release that muscle. You have to help the blood flow come back. You have to help the nerves to be less irritated, because what happens is when you release that knot, it actually sends a signal to your brain that helps your muscles to relax. And so I've discovered there are these pressure points that have to be dealt with. A couple months ago, I woke up in the middle of the night and I actually had a cramp in my thigh, and I started massaging it out. It was so bad I couldn't sleep, and I started stretching, and I worked my way all the way down to my calf, and what I discovered was that there was actually a knot in my calf. I was feeling the pain in my thigh. I thought for sure I had a bruise on my thigh or something, but the pain was actually coming from my calf and radiating into my thigh. So there are these pressure points that cause us to feel pain in other areas. And did you know what's true of our physical lives is also true of our personal lives? Also true of our spiritual lives, we encounter these pressure points in our lives, and they affect different areas of our life, but they're radiating from these pressure points. And maybe for you, a pressure point might be a difficult person in your life. Don't nudge the person next to you. That's not nice. But some of you have an image of someone's face in your mind right now, a difficult person. Maybe it's stress and anxiety that you're experiencing. Maybe it's a temptation. Maybe it's a weakness in your life, but it's a pressure point. And just like in your body physically, that point has to be resolved. You got to resolve that pressure point, because here's what happens physically. If you have a knotted muscle, if you have that concentrated muscle and it gets stiff over time, you can begin to experience chronic pain. Some of you experienced that before. Well, you know, the same thing is true for us spiritually. If we don't deal with our pressure points, then we can actually begin to experience chronic pain in our souls. So that literally it's like our souls get cramped up and our spiritual growth and movement is limited. And so that's what this series is about. We want to tackle these pressure points. The book of James is a great source of wisdom to help us navigate those pressure points that we all face in life. And here's the thing about pressure points. Pressure points can either limit you or they can grow you. Because when you hit a pressure point, we all have different pressure points in our lives that are pushing back on us. When you hit a pressure point, what happens is you're humming along in your walk with God and your spiritual growth, but you hit this thing that can limit you. And if you don't get through it, you just stop. You hit a ceiling. But if you're able, with the help of the Holy Spirit, with the principles of God's word, if you're able to get through that thing, you come out on the other side stronger. You come out on the other side stronger. So James is just pure wisdom. Pure wisdom from God's word that leads us to spiritual wholeness. That's the goal of James's letter that we're going to be studying the next few weeks. It's all about coming out whole and complete and strong and mature. So we're going to jump into it today. We're going to look at James chapter 1. If you have your Bible, that's in the New Testament, the second half of the Bible. If you're using a digital device, I'm reading from the NIV this morning. And so we're going to look at a few verses in James 1. Now here's your outside reading so you can be ready for next week, okay? Because I want to encourage you to read along with us. Today we're going to look at just a few verses in James chapter 1, but I want to encourage you, read the rest of James 1 this week, during the week, and then if you will read James 2, 1 through 13, then you'll be ready for next Sunday, okay? So read out the rest of James 1, and then read the first 13 verses of chapter 2. Write that down, put it in your phone. That way, next Sunday when you come back, you'll be better prepared, and you can just incorporate James into your devotional reading, all right? We're in this thing together. We're going to do this together. Okay, so let me give you a little background, a little context on the book of James before we jump into it. James was actually the half-brother of Jesus. So you know this book is legit, okay? Because the last person to believe in you when you're claiming to be the Son of God is your own brothers. I promise you, I got three brothers. And so here's what happened. After Mary and Joseph had Jesus, naturally they went on to have other children. Some people don't know that. It's in the Gospels. And so Jesus actually had some half-brothers. And in fact, what we read is that they didn't follow Jesus at first. They didn't believe in him. It wasn't until after his resurrection that James and Jesus' brothers began to follow him. Like, it took the Son of God dying and raising again, you know, coming back from the dead, for his brothers to follow him. And so that's who James is. He later became a prominent leader in the church in Jerusalem. And this letter that he wrote was written primarily to Jewish Christians. The very early church was made up of Jewish people following the Messiah, following Jesus, and trying to figure out what that meant as Jewish people to follow him. And so we see that that's who James has in mind as he's writing here. So let's dive into it. You guys ready this morning? James chapter 1, reading from the NIV. Here we go, verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, that's the Jewish people, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Now stop right there. It's really hard to get past verse 2, isn't it? Let's just stop right there and talk about that for just a moment. Here's James, who's writing to these Jewish believers who have been persecuted. The reason that they've been scattered from Jerusalem is they've experienced persecution. So they're on the run. They're experiencing these serious, like, threats on their lives, and they're experiencing poverty and displacement. And the first thing James tells them, and to us by the anointing of the Holy Spirit through God's word, he tells us to consider it pure joy whenever we face trials of many kinds. Can we just be honest this morning that when we hear a scripture like that, it sounds a little bit ridiculous? Come on. Can we just keep it real this morning? You're like, sure, Pastor, that's true in opposite world, right? Like, how many of you just find yourself when you face trials, you know, you just find that naturally joy begins to bubble up in your soul? Anybody? Like, thank you, God, so much that my boss is a jerk and he's making my life a living hell so that I don't even want to see his face anymore. Like, I have nightmares about him as I'm riding the train into Grand Central. Thank you, God. Anybody? Come on. Anyway, God, thank you for this terrible virus that I just got because I love vomiting and diarrhea. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God, thank you that my children are having serious behavioral problems so that I'm tempted to commit child abuse every day. Thank you, God. I just praise you. Come on, parents. Jesus, we thank you. I just want to burst forth into song right now. Anybody, you respond that way? No, I didn't think so. But James says you can actually consider it pure joy. Well, how is that? What is it all about? Well, first of all, James isn't saying that this is the only legitimate response to your trials, to the difficult seasons of life. We just came off of a series in Psalms, right? We read how the Psalms sometimes laments to God, cries out to God. But James is, here's what he's doing. He is making a case for why we can experience joy even in the midst of our trials. And the first thing he tackles is our mindset, how we consider it when we go through trials. Like, how do we even look at them? And let me give you this for your notes this morning. Your mindset about your trials will determine whether you get through them or whether you get stuck. That's what James is telling us. He's like, it's about the way you perceive them. It's the mindset that you bring through those seasons of life that will determine how you get through them. Because there's a mindset that can begin to develop that we feel like, God, I've served you. I've been faithful to you. Why do you still allow me to go through difficult things? God, why do bad things happen to good people like me? Like, God, why are you leaving me hanging? Like, nothing good ever comes my way. I can never catch a break. Come on. Sometimes we feel that way. We talk that way. We hear friends who are going through a difficult time, and there's this mindset that sets in that, like, I can never catch a break. And so James is saying the way you look at your trials, the way you see them, your mindset, the condition of your heart will determine how you experience them and how you get through them. And so trials are the first pressure point that we're going to work through, our thinking today, our mindset. See, and so here's the question. How can we, you know, possibly begin to experience joy, to consider it joy when we're going through seasons like this? Well, James goes on and explains in verse 3. Look at this with me. He says, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Everybody say perseverance. Come on, don't you just love that word, huh? Perseverance. He talks about the testing of our faith produces perseverance. So let's make sure we have the right mindset about this, okay? Because the testing of your faith doesn't mean that God is toying with you, that he's messing with you, that he's setting up all of these obstacles in your life and he's requiring you to jump through all of these hoops to see if you pass the test. Because sometimes we can begin to think of it that way. That's really not the right way to think about it. God is the creator of good things, okay? In fact, later on in chapter 1, James goes on to say that every good and perfect gift comes down from our heavenly Father. Good things come from God. So when he talks about trials in verse 2, these are things that come from the outside. We live in a fallen, broken world where people aren't doing God's will on every day. How many of you know what I'm talking about? So a lot of the pain that we experience, a lot of the trials in the tests, they just come from living in a broken, fallen world with messed up human beings. It's not that it's all from God. And so think of the testing of your faith, not so much as God putting you through all these tests, but as him refining your faith. He's a redemptive God. He's the one bringing you through it. And later on, we're going to see in the message that he's the one who can redeem your trials and use them to help you grow spiritually. And so James says the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And so the idea here is that the only way we learn to remain faithful over the long haul, anybody want to remain faithful over the long haul? You want to be able to walk this thing out? Anybody want to grow spiritually? Thank you. I see hands in the air. This is a church for people who want to grow spiritually. James is saying the only way to stay faithful over the long haul in this journey of faith is to hold on to your faith even through difficulties. Because if you abandon ship, if you jump ship during the difficulties, you're not going to make it for the long haul. Because we all go through ups and downs in this journey of life. And so we got to develop some perseverance. Now, today is Super Bowl Sunday. Do we have any football fans in the house? Anybody? Come on, how many of you are just prepared to see Tom Brady just win another Super Bowl? You might as well just accept it. Come on. I know if you're a Patriots fan, you're behind enemy lines this morning with all these Jets and Giants fans. But listen, I have a good feeling that Brady's probably going to win another one because you know why? He's not playing the New York Giants today. Where are the Giants fans in the house? The only team that has ever figured out how to stop Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. Yeah. So my bet is on him today because he's not playing the Giants, just being honest. But, you know, football is on my mind today, and as I'm thinking about perseverance, I'm thinking back to my Bible college days when I was a freshman at a Christian college called Southwestern playing football in the Texas heat. Now, I know when you look at me and you see my imposing physique this morning, the first thing you think is football player. I know. But the reality was I was just a skinny little wide receiver at a very small Bible college that nobody cared about, okay? So it wasn't that serious. I'm not trying to make it sound bigger than it was. But I remember playing football in the heat in August in Texas. It was one of the hottest summers on record. Like, there was dead grass on campus. There was, like, tumbleweed blowing across campus. And it was so hot, the last thing you wanted to do was be wearing football pads in that kind of heat. And I remember I would leave class in the afternoon, making my way out to practice, and I would begin to have a sick feeling in my stomach before I even got out there to practice because it was just so hot. And we were doing endurance. We were doing training, getting ready for the season. And my coach would make us do this thing. We would run gases. And I don't know why they called them gases, maybe because it was like being in the gas chamber experiencing torture. But we would run from sideline to sideline doing sprints until like we threw up or passed out. I mean, my coach said it was about endurance, but I really think the whole goal was to see how many people could pass out or throw up. But my coach would remind us as we were running from sideline to sideline, like, this is about endurance. This is about perseverance, because the team in the fourth quarter, when things are tight, when the game comes on the line, it's going to come down to who's worked the hardest, who's in the best shape. Come on, how many of you played sports before and you've heard coaches say stuff like that? I got to coach for a little while. I've said things like that to players. And so we were building perseverance. We were building our endurance, right? When I was in high school, I ran distance for a while. I ran cross country for a couple years, and we had 3-mile races. But every now and then, my coach would have us run 6 miles in practice. Why did she do that? Because she was helping build our endurance. She knew that if we ran 6 miles during the week, that we would have the endurance that we needed to race for 3 miles on days when we were having competitions. And do you know what I've discovered from being an athlete? Training hurts. Training hurts. Running gases was painful. Getting up at 5:30 in the morning to go to the gym was not fun when I wanted to be sleeping in my college dorm room in my bed. Running 6 miles was not enjoyable. It hurt. It wiped me out. You know, running's gotten so popular these days. Everybody wants to run a marathon. I don't run no marathon. That's painful. Really. I run now to stay in shape. And sometimes when I'm doing it, I know I need to do it. But the whole time I run, I'm like, why the heck am I doing this? This hurts. It's painful. It's painful to train. And if you've ever trained or played sports, you know that it's true. It takes pain to get results. It hurts to get into shape. Did you know when it comes to resistance training, training with weights, I was talking to Victor about this, Victor who's a trainer in our church. Do you know that the goal is to actually cause microscopic tears in the muscle? Microscopic, okay? If you have a big tear, that's bad. But when we do resistance training, your muscles actually experience these very microscopic tears, and as your muscle regenerates and repairs, it comes back stronger. So you actually have to experience pain to experience gain. Now, none of us enjoys the pain, but we all like the results, don't we? We like to feel better about ourselves. We like to lose weight. We want to look good in that bathing suit. Come on, hallelujah. You like the results of the pain. And see, here's the thing. We understand that the pain that we experience in training is different than the random pain that we experience in life. When somebody hurts us, when somebody disappoints us, when something painful happens to us. Why is that? When we train, we understand that there's a purpose in our pain, don't we? And so we have a better tolerance for the pain because we see the good, the results that can come out of it. And here's what you have to understand this morning. What you believe about your pain and trials will greatly determine what you become, who you become. That's what's so true. Your belief, your mindset, your heart's condition about what you're going through will determine who you become on the other side of it. So the question this morning for us is, can I learn to see my trials as training? Can I begin to develop that mindset? Because God wants to transform our trials into training. That's what he does. See, he didn't make it happen. He didn't cause the bad things to happen in your life, but God can redeem the pain. He didn't send the pain, but he can transform the pain. He can repurpose the pain. Come on, nothing is wasted with God. Even the difficult things we walk through, God didn't send it, but he's able to redeem it and repurpose it so that you become stronger, you become better. He repurposes it so that you can become everything that God desires you to become. And so what we believe about those experiences will affect who we become in the process. James goes on to say this in verse 4. He says, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So follow the progression here, okay? First of all, James says it's a testing of your faith. There's a refining of your faith, and that leads to perseverance. But perseverance has to finish out its course, right? It has to do its work so that you end up being complete. You end up being mature, whole, not lacking anything. Remember, that's the goal. That's the goal of James. He's encouraging us to become whole and mature in the faith. And so when God allows us to go through difficulties, there's a redemptive goal in sight. This is going somewhere. This is not a wasted season. The testing and the training that God allows us to go through, it's intended to produce wholeness, completeness, Christian character, so that you're not lacking anything and you're becoming who God wants you to be. And so you have to know while you're in the process, like, God, you can even use this and my trials and my pain and the things that are pushing back on me in life. Like, this is going somewhere. And that begins to give you hope in the process. See, when you're out of shape, why do you start training? Think about it. This isn't a trick question. The answer is obvious. Why do you start training? Because you're lacking something, right? Remember, James says so that you may be complete, mature and complete, not lacking anything. When you begin to train, it's because you're lacking something. Strength, endurance, muscle, the ability to fit in your clothes like you used to, right? There's something that you're lacking that you still need. And so you begin to train. So training gives us the abilities that we didn't have before. See, let me illustrate this for you. How do you learn to trust God with your finances unless you've been through a time where you needed financial provision in your life and things weren't easy and you had to trust God for it? You understand what I'm saying? How do you develop the ability to overcome anxiety unless you go through a situation that normally in life would have caused you to freak out, but you learn to trust God in the middle of it, in the midst of it? How would you develop that? How can you learn to forgive someone unless somebody hurts you, unless somebody disappoints you? How can God use your story to help somebody else if you don't have a story? Are you tracking with me this morning? God is writing a story that is your life, and there are some painful chapters, but it's because he wants to use your life. And so you can't help somebody else unless you've been through some stuff. How many of you have discovered in life that sometimes the people who are able to help others the most are people who have been through some stuff? Come on. My sister Sandy over here, she's got a story. Her life is going to be used to help a lot of other people because God brought her through the trial of her life, and he's brought her out on the other side of it. And now she's got a story, and God's going to use her life to bless somebody else because she can say, I've been there, and I can tell you God is faithful. And so God wants to take our trials and turn it into training. And see, if you quit training because it's hard and because it's painful, then you'll never get into shape. You'll always be lacking what you need. Come on, how many of you know if you could just go to the gym one time and train and get in shape and you'd be all good from there, everybody would be in shape, right? Come on, they'd all be in shape in January. They'd all go back one time, New Year's resolution, boom. But it doesn't work that way. You got to stick with it, right? You got to get back up on the horse every day. And so the stuff that you're going through doesn't have to be the end of you, because sometimes it feels like the end of you. But it actually, because of God's redemptive purposes, can become the beginning of something new in your life. What looked like death can become life because God is working to finish you. That's what James is saying. God is working to finish you. I want to encourage you, put that in your notes this morning. This perseverance thing is going somewhere so that you'll be complete and you're not lacking anything. See, God is more interested in changing you than he is changing your circumstances. We always pray. We're in the middle of difficult things. The first thing we do, right, our kind of gut instinct is to start praying the circumstances away. And sometimes God will hear that kind of prayer. But sometimes God allows you to go through the circumstances because he's more interested in changing you than the circumstances. Because if he can change you, he knows that he can drop you in the middle of any circumstances and you can survive and you can make it. That's what this is about. This is about us pushing through to the other side because remember what I said before, pressure points are things that stop us and limit us, but with God's help, when we push through, when we count it all joy, when we trust in him, when we trust the process, then you can come out on the other side, graduated to a new level, so that what used to stop you, what was your ceiling, now becomes your floor. Are you with me? And you can go on to greater things and even new challenges. But God is building you because he wants you to be complete and lacking nothing. You know, today, many of you are going to watch the Super Bowl later on, and we're going to watch these two quarterbacks, Tom Brady and Nick Foles, and really two different guys, because Nick Foles is his first Super Bowl that he's ever played. Didn't even start at quarterback this whole season. You know, the Eagles quarterback got injured, and Nick Foles stepped in and played the last few games of the season. Didn't even play in the preseason in that vital time when quarterbacks get synced up with their receivers. And so he's going into this big game. On the other hand, you got Tom Brady, who's played in 7 Super Bowls. He's won 5 of them. Only lost 2 of them, and he knows what it is to experience adversity. Listen, last year he came back from a 25-point deficit to beat the Falcons. Do you think he's going to be rattled in the Super Bowl if they get down by a touchdown tonight? No, because he's been there before. He's even experienced loss. He knows what it is to lose a Super Bowl and still come back and win another one. Love him or hate him, he's the GOAT. He's the greatest of all time. So nothing's going to rattle him. So he's got a huge advantage, okay? I know, once again, if you're a Patriots fan, you're behind enemy lines today. There's not a whole lot of people pulling for the Patriots, but I'm putting my money on Tom Brady because he's been there before. He's got a lot of advantage because he's been through some experience. And so here's what I want to tell you is that God has taken the stuff you've been through, and with the experience, with the training, he's bringing you to a place of completion. as we wrap it up this morning, look at verse 12 with me. Fast forward over to verse 12. You got to read the rest of James 1 on your own this week. But look at verse 12. James says this, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him." James says this is a blessing for those who persevere, those who make it and cross the finish line. You know, in ancient times, when people finished a race, when athletes competed in a race, they often got a crown. So James's audience would have been familiar with this. And here's what James is saying. You and I, we're in a different competition. We're in a different race. We're on a spiritual journey, and we're keeping our eyes set on the finish line so that one day when we cross that finish line, we receive the crown of life. James is talking about the promise of eternal life, the promise of heaven, the blessing of having your salvation completed, going on to your eternal reward. We keep our eyes focused on that. And can I just say something about that for just a moment? Because when I was a kid growing up in Sunday school, it was kind of always like, well, one day when you die, you're going to get to go to heaven. And so, like, that was exciting to go to heaven. But, you know, when you're a kid, you don't really get excited about dying either. It's like, I have a whole life I want to live, you know? And I think we've kind of always really oversimplified it, because here's the reality. You have to understand that eternal life is not just about dying one day and going to heaven. Eternal life is about something that's starting in the here and now. Jesus said that he came to give us life and life more abundantly. What do you think he's talking about? He's talking about a quality of life that invades the present. There's a future promise, but it begins to invade the present. Are you tracking with me? Paul said that if you're a new creation in Christ, whoever's in Christ is a new creation. There is this eternal life that begins to invade our lives now. The kingdom of heaven begins to come into your life now so that you experience a quality of life that can be called eternal life. So it starts in this life, but it gets completed in the next life. What Paul said is a blessing that comes to you if you hold on, because God is building your life in the here and now so that you'll be ready for the next one. That's a much better way of understanding eternal life and the presentness that we have of it. It is yet to come, but we have a present deposit of it in our lives right now. And so you have to recognize that we're works in progress. You are a work in progress. I'm a work in progress. You're a work of art under construction, and we got to submit to the process. Got to submit to the process, because our human tendency is to bail out. Our human tendency is to give up, get mad at God, say, I don't understand why I've been faithful, but things never work out my way, whatever. It's so easy to go there. But our prayer today is, God, help me to submit to the process, to see that even the pressure points in my life, even the areas of my life that are pushing back on me, like, God, you're a redemptive God, and you are working in my life. God, help me to trust your perspective. My perspective is limited. The Apostle Paul says our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us a glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, because God is working in us. And that's our prayer. God, help me to tap into your perspective by faith, to trust that you see things from a place that I don't see them. And so let me ask you this morning as we close in prayer. Who or what is God using to build you? What are you believing about what is happening in your life right now? What's your mindset? Who are you becoming in the process? How would it change things if you could begin to see that the trials that you're facing in life, the things that are pushing back on you, are actually training, and to know that God is working in you to complete you so that you come out on the other side mature, whole, and lacking nothing? Our prayer today is, God, help us to submit to the process. Help us to find joy, God, knowing that you're working in us. There's a joy that we shouldn't even have. It doesn't make sense to have it, but God, it comes from you, because we know that nothing, no season in our life is wasted. You're a redemptive God, and you're working in me to complete me, to finish me. I want to pray for you this morning. Why don't you stand with me? In just a moment, we're going to receive communion together. We're going to sing a final song. But stand with me. I want to pray with you. This morning, with God's help, we want to push through this first pressure point today. Collectively as a church, as we begin this series, we want to pray together and say, God, help me to submit to the process. God, don't let me bail out on what you want to do in my life. Don't let me miss out on everything you want to do in me. But God, help me to trust you. Help me to see things from your perspective, to know that you are faithful, so that I can count it all joy. Would you pray with me this morning? Come on, just make it personal this morning. God, we thank you so much that you're a good God. God, we thank you that you're a redemptive God. Lord, we thank you that no season of our life is wasted. God, we thank you that you even want to take our trials, the things that are pushing back on us, and you want to transform them. You want to redeem them so that they become training, so that we can become everything that you desire us to be, the kind of people that you want us to be. God, thank you that you're writing a story that is our lives. And God, even though we're going through some chapters that we don't like, God, we thank you that our life is a story. It's a message. It has purpose. And you're even going to use us to help somebody else, that our lives would be unto your glory, God, lived for your glory, God. And so, Lord, help us today to see things from your perspective, God. Give us faith to trust in you, that you are working in us so that we can count it all joy. And now may joy begin to well up in our souls. I pray especially for those who are walking through a season that is especially difficult, that the joy of the Lord would well up in their hearts today, that they would hold on to it no matter what, God, trusting that you will bring them through it out on the other side, stronger and better and whole. In Jesus' name, if you receive it into your life, would you say amen this morning? Amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.